Oh my. You know what? After the morning, after the party, it's Sunday morning, 94.7, waking up yawning. After you yawn and go to take a piss, and after the EDM is probably this.
Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now...
Hey, good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art taker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. I am here with a woman who adds a little bit of crass to my sad, sorry ass, Leslie M. Scott Jones. How are you, Leslie?
Good morning, Clinton. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I may start dressing up for every show. I feel very professional right now.
That's great. I feel very much like a bum right now.
And therein lies the difference between us, ladies and gentlemen. That's it right there. No, seriously, I've got like bling on this morning.
You're very bling-tastic.
I know. I'm sparkly this morning.
It's like you're like a business suit. You look like you're ready to go stand next to Hillary and say favorable things about Nancy Reagan's role in the AIDS struggle.
No, I'm ready to stand next to Bernie, though. I'll stand next to Bernie.
Really?
Oh, yeah, with my fist up all day, man.
I think a black woman standing up next to Bernie with her fist up would just be scary for him.
No, you know what? He'd probably turn around and be like, yeah, put his up, too.
Yeah, you think.
He would.
You think.
He's been doing it since he was like 18. You haven't seen the video of him getting arrested, chained to a black woman? Shouting as they pulled him away. That man, he been in it.
They don't say what he was getting arrested for when he was chained to a black
woman. Clinton, I thought we had this conversation about you working blue on Sunday mornings. I'm the only one that's allowed to do that.
Oh, okay. But you're wearing turquoise. Anyway, we'll start this show the way we always start this show, which is with a parental advisory. At some point in this show, we may say the word stimulate. Stimulate. So if you are a parental out there and you've got little delicate bottles of innocence that you don't want shaken up till they froth and bubble, then you might want to keep them away so that they don't hear people use words like stimulate. All right. I think we've done our public service for the moment.
I think you have, yes. You. I just want to let everybody... He does this. I have nothing to do with it. I don't claim that at all.
Under the bus. So early under the bus.
Completely. I want that bus to back up over you. That's what I want.
All right. Well, we'll go to our first guest this morning. Coming all the way from over the mountain. They are a couple of actors, producers, directors, board members, right? Both of you board members? Mm-hmm. Both of you board members from Summer Theater in the Shenandoah Valley, from Oak River Theater. Good morning, guys. Penthouse Connect, Sam Kugler.
Hiya. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. So, guys, for those people who don't know, and we are here for those people. We're here to take care of that situation right here and now. For those people who don't know what Oak Grove Theater is, could you please tell them?
All right. Well, Oak Grove Theater is in its 63rd season over in Verona, Virginia.
I just want to take a moment for that. 63rd season.
Yep. Yep, we've been operating since 1954, and what we do is we do a 5-play season subscription every summer, and basically the subscribers will buy tickets for all 5 plays. This year the charge is $60, and for that they get 5 different productions, 1 musical, and 4 straight plays, and the season this year includes Noises Off, Vanya, Sonya, Masha, and Spike, My Favorite Year, Foxfire, and There's a Burglar in My Bed. For the $60, you get to attend all those plays. Each play, you have a full week to attend. Your seats are not assigned. So basically, you can come out to the woods there in Verona, and we have picnic tables. You can picnic and tailgate before the theater experience. The shows begin at 8:45, and that is so that we can have the lighting effects that we need to have. That's the reason why it starts so late for some people. And once we're going, like I said, each show runs for a full week, and you can come any night of that week that you want.
Well, we're done then. We're done.
No. It's just like, hey. Not yet.
Thanks. That's the most efficient interview we've ever had here. Thanks a lot, Ben. We can just move on to the next person. No. So just in case, I want to paint the picture for people. The Oak Grove stage, it's a stage under the stars.
Yeah. Originally, the Grove back in 1954 was founded by Dr. Fletcher Collins Jr., who was the professor of drama at Mary Baldwin College, where you and I, well, you used to work and I still work. Well, you still do some.
Some kind of.
Yeah. But the local gentleman, Mary Baldwin was a women's school, and the local gentleman from the community played all the men's roles in the shows at the college. And they liked it so much they wanted to do it year-round. So the Collinses had a small farm just north of the Stanton and a big oak grove on a hilltop. In Verona, yes. And they went in and cleared out enough ground for a parking lot, and they took the trees and split them for planks and made plank benches and built a concrete stage on the hillside in the middle of this grove of oak trees. We have improved things considerably since then. the lighting instruments are hung from trees. The light booth at the back of the audience is built between up in the air between two big trees. Two large oak trees form the proscenium arch of the stage. We now have very nice stadium seating and modern conveniences, so people don't have to use the privy that was the original, which I might add still is out in the woods, but we don't use it anymore.
Which I think is a shame, because I think audiences should have to suffer just a little bit for their theater. You got to want the art.
We had a lady who was with us for many, many years, and we miss her greatly. Her name was Betty Lee. And even after we built the bathroom, she still used the privy.
Wow. She's dedicated.
She was that.
She is in there. So what are the specific challenges that you guys, because you're doing shows, I mean, Noises Off, that is a huge show. How do you do something like that that is... even in a regular theater is hard to do. So how do you manage doing it in an outdoor theater where you, number one, have limited space, and how do you do that?
Well, everything is a challenge. With Noises Off, basically, instead of being able to drop set pieces in, you can, we basically will put them on casters and make them so that we can roll them around and clamp them back together. Separate the set of stairs. One of the unique things with Noises Off is that you will get to see the play from both sides of the stage. So in case you don't know about that portion of it, it begins with the first act being a rehearsal, the second act being a performance, which you see the backstage side of the performance, and then the third act being the front side of a performance. So you get to see all three sides and parts of the play process.
So you guys must have an awesome stage crew that builds stuff for you guys.
Well, yeah, we've got about a half a dozen people who are very familiar with the set and the stage. That's one of the problems, of course, is that it's unique. As Ben mentioned, we can't fly stuff in or do a lot of stuff that you would do in a normal theater. So you have to kind of be used to the Grove before you can really run things at the Grove.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have things like when we're actually in performance, frequently people have to dodge the occasional bat.
Oh.
They like to come and fly through the lights because there's insects there.
Yes.
And towards the end of the season, we usually have to tell the actors to speak louder because of the cicadas.
Oh. Wow, so, that's a different joy of doing theater that I hadn't yeah, even thought about.
But it is an absolutely beautiful setting. We have frequent weddings there because people just have worked there and have fallen in love with the place. So we try not to encourage all the weddings, but on occasion we still have people who are part of our family, and it is kind of a family-oriented place. So they come in and we'll let them have a ceremony there. But it is a unique and beautiful venue.
And there is a family feel to it, or at least I think there are a lot of things that probably conspire to make this so, but in the times that I've gone there, and I've gone there a bunch, there is this, if not family, it is sort of a community feel to it. I think I mean, am I wrong? Like, you get the same people coming back year after year after year after year. And because I'll sit in the audience and I'll see people come by and they'll just say, oh, hey, hi. And they'll be speaking across rows to people there. And
yeah, well, it started off, like I said, with folks in the community and working together. And it's always kind of stayed that way. We've tried to keep it from being this corporate kind of a feeling. I've been working there since 1972. I'm 63 now, and it's, what, 44 years I've been working there?
Oh, my. You're braver than I. You did that, Matt. You just go and dive right into that math, don't you, Sam?
And a lot of our people. We've got a few folks who've been there since back in the 50s who were not... All of our original members and movers and shakers are gone, but we still have one or two that were in the first follow-on generation. So there's a lot of history and a lot of – it's a community. It's a family kind of a feel to the place.
Yeah.
My whole family works there, as a matter of fact, including my sister, my now-deceased brother-in-law, my nephew, my wife, my kids, me. It happens like that.
Yeah. So, Ben, how long have you been working with Oak Grove?
I've been working with Oak Grove since 1987 when I was 16 years old, and I played a chorus role in Camelot. So I got started there because one of my high school teachers introduced me to the place, and I fell in love with it, and so I've been working there ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you've got a stage, and I want to highlight something that you said, Sam, which is that it does sound, when we talk about it, it does sound rustic when we're talking about the cicadas and with the bats, and mosquitoes love me, so that's always part of my experience.
We spray for those.
The ones that you don't get, find me. They're waiting around. The spray's coming down, and they're like, maybe we should get out of here. It's like, no, that big guy's going to come. He's just going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Just hold out. But, and, you know, like, it can sound like a rustic experience, but for people who haven't been there, again, it's you know, you get there early, and there are picnic tables out in the parking lot, and there are people who are tailgating, and you can have yourself, you know, this nice little, you know, picnic dinner. And then the stage, it's the stage sitting surrounded by trees with a farm in the background. And as the play goes on, the sun sets, the night comes out, if you're fortunate, the stars come out, it gets to be a really fun, if not magical, experience. So, but with this theater that's basically just a stage out in the forest, I would think that there would be limitations to what you guys could do in terms of shows. But looking at the range of shows that I've seen you do over the years, it doesn't seem like there's much that's off limits when you are, because so you just chose your season. When you're choosing a season, do you stop and think, well, there's no way we're going to be able to do this out at the Grove?
Well, there are times when we will bring up that question of what will it take to do something at the Grove, but we don't really like to think that there's anything that we cannot do out at the Grove. if we have enough volunteers and the right volunteers, we can definitely get some things done out there that people don't expect us to be able to do. All of these challenges are things that we love. We're doing something that we love, and because of that, it makes those challenges seem less like work.
You know, one of the things that I was real happy about this year, when possible, because it's such a beautiful place, we encourage the directors and producers to leave an open set so that the audience can still feel the Grove. On occasion, we have to build a box set, you know, like, you know, three walls, so if it's in somebody's living room. But in particular, like this year, we're doing Foxfire, and it's supposed to take place on top of a mountain looking out across a valley in the, and I'm directing that show, and I'm building, there's a clapboard cabin on the stage, and the rest of it is the audience can just look out into the scenery. It's all part of the show, and we'll actually be lighting up part of the woods as part of the show.
Well, that was good planning. Well done, you. Well done, you, for using your space to the utmost. I love it.
Sam doesn't mess around.
Apparently.
He came to play.
Yeah, right?
Well, I did this show in Florida many, many years ago when I was in the Air Force, and we had to paint a canvas picture of the valley that was like 30 feet long and, you know, 15 feet tall, and I didn't want to do that again.
There you go. And now you don't have to. So you've set your season, and you're in the middle of auditions, right?
Yes, yesterday and today. We leave here today, and Ben and I both have to go back and fight over actors for the rest of the season.
Fight over actors. I love it.
Well, we cast all five shows at the same time to give everyone an equal chance, and we do have to negotiate for people on occasion.
Yeah. So you had auditions last night. Can you give us any spoilers? Like, you know, a little hint? As to, you know.
Well, with the weather, we didn't get near as many people as we like. So if anyone is hearing this and wants to act, show up at Mary Baldwin College this afternoon between 2 and 5.
There you go. See how I just led you into that plug.
All right.
Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM, Homegrown.
17 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, we're sitting here with Sam Kugler and Ben Houseconnect from Oak Grove Theater out in Verona, Virginia, on the other side of the mountain. Summer Theater under the stars. I'm surprised that isn't your slogan, and two, I'm so pleased with you guys that you didn't go so cheesy as to make that your slogan. I think that speaks a lot of you.
Actually, our slogan is playing in the woods since 1954.
See, that's so much better. So, something that I also want to touch on is one of the things that makes Oak Grove unique, among other theaters, is something that, Ben, you mentioned right at the very beginning, is your ticket policy. You guys are a subscription-only theater, right?
Yes, we are subscription-based, which means that we don't sell tickets for individual shows except to out-of-town guests of subscribers. So when you buy your tickets, it's $60, and once you pay that $60, you get to see all five shows. If you have somebody come in from out of town that you want to bring with you, you're welcome to bring them along, and then you will pay for that individual show, which is
$15.
Sorry, had a momentary lapse there. If you are interested in getting season tickets at this point, we have brochures that are available in Stanton at Black Swan Books and Pampered Palette, in Waynesboro, Virginia at Quality Cleaners and the Purple Foot, in Harrisonburg at Gitchell's Studio and Camera Shop, or you can go online to www.oakgrovetheater.org, and there you can pay by PayPal, or you can get an order form and mail in a check for $60 for each set of tickets to Oak Grove Theater, P.O. Box 3040, Stanton, Virginia, 24402-3040.
And if you do decide to go online, please Remember, it's oakgrovetheater.org. There is an oakgrovetheater.com, but it's in Ohio.
Yeah, I don't think we want to make that trip. That's not good. I just love him. He's like completely ready with all the information. He's like, before we even ask the question, he's answering it. This is awesome. So, you guys, Clinton took me to a show out there last summer. And, you know, I'm a country girl. Grew up in the country. Both my grandparents had farms, so I'm used to being out in the woods.
You can't tell by the way she so bedazzledly looked this morning.
See, now he's trying to get on my good side, see, which means something is coming. He's going to do something to piss me off, and that's why he's buttering me up. But anyway. but the thing I, the theater is, it really does become a magical experience, because when you go into a regular theater, you know, with four walls and a roof, you're depending so much on, special effects, on lights and sound and all of that to create the magic for you. But at Oak Grove, the magic kind of just, it just happens as you sit there. So what are the challenges that you guys have to make sure that when you choose a show, it really fits in with the motif that you have? Like, have you ever had a show that you chose and it was like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that one because it just didn't flow with the setting?
I don't think so. We've had rarely, thank goodness, the occasional show that we sang, gee, maybe we shouldn't have done that show because it's not a terribly good show. But that's very, very rare. We pride ourselves on our quality. But no, we can make most anything fit there. We have done shows where... we did Strindberg's A Dream Show there many years ago. And the beginning of that, we had a bridge between two trees where Indra's daughter is coming to Earth to see what humanity is like. And she was dressed in this pristine white costume that looked kind of Grecian. As she comes across the bridge, we built a spiral staircase around the back of the tree. And as she comes down the staircase, she released the pins at the top of her chitin, pushed it down, and she came out from the backside of the tree simply by walking around it in a gray costume. And
because
she had come to Earth and it was all dirty and gray and everything. So, I mean, we can make anything work out there. If you can hang it from a tree or put it up in the air somehow, we can usually work with it.
That's cool. Okay. So, Clinton, we have to go see Noises Off because I want to see how they do that.
I think every time we do the show, we come up with something that we have to go see.
I know, but that's the good thing, right? That's the way it's supposed to happen.
That is exactly the way it's supposed to happen. And so we're not the only ones. Oak Grove Theater playing this summer for its 63rd
season.
For its 63rd season. Performances start May 26th with Noises Off. Then after that, it's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. Then My Favorite Year, the musical, right?
Yes,
the musical.
Foxfire, and then the farce, There's a Burglar in My Bed, ending all the way down on August 24th, $60 for the entire summer.
A new show every 3 weeks.
A new show every 3 weeks. Go contact them, figure out how you can get your tickets, and if you are of an artistic mind and you don't have anything to do today, maybe... take a trip over the mountain and crash some auditions at the last minute. Sam, Ben, thank you very much for coming over.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too. Don't hurt each other when fighting over those last people. All right, 24 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, a show about local art. Time to talk about some local art. Boom! Boom! Today's the last day. Is that right? Yeah, today's the last day for Moon Over Buffalo at Four County Players. Talking about farces. A delightful farce written by the same person who wrote the farce, Lend Me a Tenor. Today's also the last day of Virginia Festival of the Book. Go to vabook.org/schedule to see what final events you can catch before you have to wait another year to get your literary Jones met. Currently running until April 3rd, To Kill a Mockingbird at Live Arts. Taking up Harper Lee's book, they're killing that mockingbird. They're killing it, and then they're feeling bad about it. Currently running until April 16th, Thursdays and Saturdays. No Wake, a multimedia outdoor performance and dance installation piece at the Ix Art Park, done by Jennifer Hoyt Tidwell, the 2015-2016 public artist for the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute. March 25th, it's our friends at Bent Theater at the Bridge PAI, talking about the Bridge Progressive Arts Institute. Bent Theater, performing at the Bridge, Charlottesville Improv. Check them out or you won't know what it's all about. March 31st to April 9th, it's the Arctic Circle and a Recipe for Swedish Pancakes, a play at UVA done by the UVA Drama Department, written by UVA alum Samantha Mocker. Also on March 31st, going until April 2nd, it's The Tempest at Piedmont Virginia Community College, done by the PVCC Drama People. Music by Aletha Leventhal and Mecca Burns. Choreography by belly dancer Jennifer LaFleur. Directed by Brad Stoller. This is going to be a really, really interesting version of The Tempest. A lot of movement bass, a lot of Middle Eastern elements. It sounds like it's going to be fascinating. March 31st to April 10th, Polaroid Stories at Guerrilla Theater. And what's Polaroid Stories? It's Greek myths meets modernity at the fringes of urban society. Check out our friends at Guerrilla Theater, the plucky little theater that could. They're doing some really nice stuff down there at Allied Street. And also, tickets are on sale now for the April 10th to April 11th Shenandoah Fringe Festival over in Stanton, Virginia. If you want to check out those tickets, go log on to shenfringe.com. And here's just some of the music that you can listen to coming up. Today, the Charlottesville Jazz Society featuring Lynn Riley and the World Mix plays at 7 p.m. at UVA's Brooks Hall. Tickets are on sale now for the April 17th Amuse-Bouche by the Victory Hall Opera Company. Opera Company. Tomorrow, it's ATM Unit continuing their Monday night run at Rapture. March 22nd, Larissa and the Illusionistics at Fellini's. March 23rd, it's an open mic night at the Pro Ray Natta Farm Brewery. And March 24th, the Larry Keel Experience at the Jefferson Theater and Weird Mob 1920 and the Can-Do Attitude at the Anteroom. March 25th, DJ Tulo at Tavern on the James. And also March 25th, Harrison's DJ Groovematic at Rapture, dueling DJs. How can you choose? I don't know. I'm just here to give you the opportunity. March 25th, it's Gypsy Town at Wildworth Brewery. And the 26th, Positive Collective plays at Heritage on the Main in Waynesboro. And also on the 26th is the Robert Jospe Trio at Fellini's. And of course, every Monday, it's the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Wednesday, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura. Also on Wednesday, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. And coming around Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if you're not up for that, then head over to Miller's for John Dearth Quintet. Because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And that's just some of the many artistic things going on in our community that you can avail yourself of. If you are an artist and have an event, contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email us at homegrown947@gmail.com. Homegrown, now you know.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
29 minutes after the hour, we're sitting here. Stay tuned, because after Homegrown, of course, it's going to be the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. Today's guest on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, Lisa Province, news editor at the Seaville Weekly. The Seaville Weekly. They're like real news.
They're like real news?
They're so much like real news.
Oh, okay.
You can hardly tell the difference. I can't believe it's not news.
Oh, my God. It's the version with less fat.
Yeah, exactly.
No calories.
Exactly. I think next year they're planning on putting out some gluten-free news.
Ooh, see, getting bougie now. Uh-huh.
For those people who can't digest their news with gluten.
Right. Oh my God, it's made with rice flour. That's what it is. Okay, moving right along to our next guest. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have this woman here today. I've seen her perform a couple of times in Charlottesville. She is an amazing artist. Everyone, Lady Tayge.
Woo! What's up? Good morning.
So Tayge, for those people out there who don't know what you do, why don't you tell them what you do?
Well, I am a hip hop artist. I'm from Stanton, Virginia, and basically, you know, I just tune in, and I'm very in tune with my feelings and my emotions, and I try to really put music out there that's extremely relatable. So,
wait, a hip hop artist. In tune with their feelings,
yes.
And emotions.
Yes.
But hip-hop artists were only in tune with their bank accounts.
that is not true.
And with how many cars they had in the driveway. I'm sorry, how many Bentleys they had in the driveway.
Oh, and I'm here to change your mind about that.
Thank you. Oh,
that's not
God.
Necessarily true.
You normally don't insult the guests.
I know. Wow. I'm going home.
I didn't insult her. She said she wasn't doing that.
All right. So how did you get started doing hip hop?
Really, I got started when I was 8, and I started with poetry. Uh-oh. I love poetry. And then just from watching like rap videos on TV and things like that, I just kind of like took the poetry and put it on a beat. And then here we are. Now I'm Lady Tayge, and several years later.
Wow. You started when you were 8.
8. Yes. 8.
Okay. Is there video? I just, because that would be absolutely adorable of little Lady Tayge.
I know. And I wish if I knew that it was going to be as awesome as it is now, I probably would have, like, I wish I would have video. I have, like, some talent show things. They're pretty embarrassing, so I kind of rather not the whole world see them.
Now, frequently, I mean, so it's so my thing is it's rough being an artist in the United States.
Right.
It's rough being an artist everywhere, but you know, it's we have our own difficulties. Frequently, people who come to their artistic bands when they're children.
Right.
And that happens a lot. You know, like there are so many of us, as soon as we can get in front of people or find whatever it is that makes us go, we're like this.
Right.
This. But frequently, those of us who come to it as children find that there's just not a lot of support. What was it like? Did you, I mean, like with your peers, with your parents around you, did you get a lot of support for your poetry and eventually for your rap when you were growing up?
I did. Actually, I was lucky. I'm extremely blessed because when I first started, I did like talent shows, so I was kind of cool for it. You know what I mean? Especially with being a female rapper, it made me different, and like I don't suck. So, yeah. So that's step one, is to not suck.
That's what I was missing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, Clinton. Now we know the missing link for you.
Yeah. So I went to Short Shrift High School, and everybody showed me a lot of support. Like they really like loved it, and that's when I knew I had to like continue. It's like an obsession. You know what I mean? So,
you and I have had conversations before about what it's like to be an independent artist and actually make money from your art.
Yes.
can you, for those artists out there who, you know, they have the talent, they've written stuff, they're ready to get out there. Mm-hmm. Like what's your advice to them about how to, you know, grind it out and actually get paid for creating this art?
Well, see, and that goes back to what Clinton said. I'm not at the point where I have a bunch of cars and whatnot, so it wouldn't really be realistic for me to talk about that at this point in my life. Maybe later on in life, but right now I can't do that. So, but it's hard to make money from music because it's almost like, why would I pay you if we have a bunch of other people that'll come and do it for free?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's really creating a following, and with you know, if Lady Tej is going to be performing here, knowing that this many people are going to come out and support, and that's the biggest thing. So I think it's so important to have like a social media presence and a strong social media presence and just be professional. I think that people forget that part. Like they think that they can just like shoot an email with the grammar wrong or whatever, you know, and you have to be a business. You have to be a business person first, and then everything else follows behind that.
Yeah, and see, Clinton and I talk all the time on the show about how artists aren't really built for that business side of it. They right. don't know how it works, and when they try and figure it out, they just get so frustrated.
Right.
because
yeah.
their mind doesn't work that way. I mean, artists' mind just don't lend in that direction.
Yeah.
So how did you like we've talked to artists like, you know, Michael Clem who crowdsourced to get their albums done. So, and you have a new album coming out.
Right. Yeah, it's out right now.
It's out right now. So like, how did you get the money to, you know, record and get it mastered and cut the CDs and all of that? Like, how did you go about that?
It's called a job.
9 to 5. There you go.
Okay. I'm on my 9 to 5. No, for me, I'm lucky because I've had, with doing music so long, I've created a lot of connections from networking. So I have like amazing people that are willing to work with me for like a little to nothing, or like that'll cut me deals because they believe in what I do and my music. And they see what I'm trying to do, and they see the big vision and the bigger picture. So they want to be a part of it too. So for me, it's really, I mean, I'm just blessed. Like for this album here, I had Rhythmic, who is an amazing, amazing engineer. He is awesome. And you know, he definitely worked with me so we could get this mixed and mastered. And I mean, this CD, I've never sounded so good before. It's amazing. And I will never work with anyone else. Like I don't want to work with anyone else because it sounds so awesome.
That's great.
And he's so great. Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is it's all about the grind.
It's all about the grind. It's all about networking. Networking is all about the grind, and, you know, and just putting your vision out there so people can see it, because you can't just go to anybody and they just going to cut you a deal just because, like, for what?
Right.
For what,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about the grind and, you know, having the business mindset.
That's awesome. Okay, so you brought us a CD, and we're gonna play a song.
Yes. Like right now.
Any minute now.
Leslie's so smooth on her segues.
We got DJ Leslie in the building. How you doing? I'm Tej. And honestly, I think you're beautiful. And I just couldn't let you leave here without asking you a few things.
Tell me where you wanna go.
I just wanna know.
Tell me what you wanna do.
What you wanna do, huh?
Baby, just be comfortable.
Come here, come here.
I'll be right here next to you.
I'll be right here, right next to you.
Look.
First things first, you can't be too shy. Second thing, gotta be extra fly. I'ma have you in that high cloud nine. You know I know all about the cloud nine. Something about you just gives me life. After a long day, I'ma get you right. Get you right. Put you in the things you like. Whatever you need done, you ain't gotta ask twice. You and I make one hell of a team. Making dreams come true, courtesy of me. I'm the type that's ambitious, I gets it done. Your ex was all talk, messing with the wrong one. Better quality of life, well that's right.
That's right.
Better sex all night, well that's right.
That's right.
Future extra bright, well that's right.
Yes.
You and Lady Tej, yeah.
Tell me
right.
Where you wanna go.
Where you wanna go? Where you wanna go?
Tell me what you wanna do.
What you wanna do? What you wanna do?
Baby, just be comfortable.
Be comfortable, be comfortable.
I'll be right here next to you.
I'll be next to you. I'll be next to you.
Baby,
you.
Just be comfortable.
Be comfortable, be comfortable.
Tell me what you wanna do.
What you wanna do? What you wanna do?
Baby, just be comfortable.
Be comfortable, be comfortable.
I'll be right here next to you.
I'll be next to you, I'll be next to you.
Look.
I promise to keep it 100 and always make you feel wanted. Be a provider of good loving, and if you need someone to talk to, I'm here. All ears, make you feel secure, no fears. All grins and no tears. And when you feel it down, need to pick me up. I'm always gonna be ready to lift you up. Never give you up, you so valuable. Know your worth, girl, I don't mind showing you. My queen,
my queen,
my queen. And really, that's all I need. Wish you could see.
beauty I see. Yes, see. Wish you could see what you mean to me. But it's cool.
All right. It's great. All right. So what's the name of that track?
That's the Comfortable cover.
Nice. Can you tell us about that song?
Yeah. Well, Comfortable. Okay, so real quick, shout out to my lovely lady, Miss Hayes. I wrote that song for my girlfriend. And remember the part when I was saying my feelings and my emotions? Like,
mm-hmm. I do remember that part.
That part, yeah. So, I just think she's like the most amazing thing ever. So I wrote a song just expressing how I felt about her.
See, that's the thing. Go out with artists, you might get some art about you. I'm just saying. Just saying.
So I just did, redid K Camp's song Comfortable. But yeah, so.
Nice. So, how can I say this?
Speak it.
Going back to how it's engineered and how you like the way it sounded. So can you get into more detail? What is it specifically about how you sound on that track that you like?
I think it's just the confidence. Like the beginning of the track, this is probably my favorite song overall out of all the songs that's on Lady's Lyrics, because like the beginning of it, you know, it's like how you approach, like how I would approach a lady in a situation. You know, how you doing? I'm Tage. I think you're, you know, honestly, I think you're beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, I love this, the realism of it, and like the vibe. Like, it makes you feel good. It's definitely a feel good. You hear me like laughing in the background, mm-hmm. and like little stuff, but it's me. You know, my silliness and how I handle situations. So.
Yeah, I can see that there's a lot of personality in the song, and there's a lot of energy. You bring a lot of energy to the song, which is just which is infectious. You catch it.
I like
being able to be myself. Like, I don't want to be a rapper that like I have like two, you know, I have to be someone else for people to love me. I want to be myself. You know, I don't want to have to put on a different face and act like a totally different person. Like, I just want to be like Lady Sage.
So do you find that it's sometimes hard to hit that line when you're dealing with other rappers? Because I'm sure you run into a lot of people who were trying to put out an image.
Yeah.
Right. And are all about trying to be, and maybe they are actually hard, but all about, you know, trying to be harder, trying to be this, trying to be that, or trying to reflect this, or trying to reflect that. When here you are, you're just trying to be yourself. And is there ever a clash between you and your fellow artists?
I mean, there's not a clash, but it's my thing that sets me apart from everyone else, you know? Like, you don't hear me on the track, like, talking about selling drugs and doing this and doing that, because everybody's doing that. So if you're hearing everybody do that, then what's the point in listening to what I'm saying if you've already heard it, like, a million times before? But what I love is the fact that, like, I don't coattail anybody. I create my own lane. I'm creating my own lane. I'm making my own path. And that's what makes it so special.
So, I mean, I know the Charlottesville hip-hop community is kind of small and really close.
Right.
But talk about what it's like being in an industry that is predominantly male.
Yeah.
Like, because
that's what's up. That,
right. Yeah. I mean, was it hard for you to, like, book shows and things like that being a female rapper?
It is harder. It's a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time, because it's a great thing because there isn't a lot of female hip hop artists that's coming out of the area like that. So I'm pretty rare. So that's the benefit of it. But at the same time, it does make it harder, because I think it's harder for people to take you seriously because there's not a lot of us. So
you're having to prove yourself more.
I have to prove myself all the time. I'm always have to prove myself. I have to make sure that, like, my lyrics are better, if not, like, better or just as good as the next guy that you're going to see out here.
Right.
Because they're going to pick me apart because I'm a lady.
Right.
Which I don't see what having a penis makes make you a better rapper. I don't understand that.
I was just watching an interview with Amy Schumer, who was dealing for the umpteenth time with the question of, well, what happens when people say, you know, women aren't funny? Do you ever get people saying, well, women can't rap?
I mean, I don't. People don't say it to my face because I prove them wrong.
So I mean, like, were you out there? Yeah. Because I just came off and it sounded like that was rapping to me.
Yeah.
Wait. Let's go listen. Are they applauding? I think they're applauding.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty lucky. And as many shows and things that I have going on too, like I've done a lot. Like being a female artist it's kind of helped me too because I'm so rare. So it's like, you know, when people reach out for me to do something, I think they want to add something special to their show. So they're like, oh yeah, let me get Lady Tage, you know, because we don't see this very often. So it helps me too. So it's a good thing. I like it.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I'm a little exhausted dealing with the patriarchy. I'm just telling you. Tired.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because you're one of the people in the room that has a penis?
That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm one of the patriarchy. That's like looking at a German and saying, you know what, I'm really tired of the history of Nazi Germany. It's like, if I do say that to me, because you're the German in the room. Yeah, but you know, it's not like I've been marching up and down Berlin with the brown shirts, you know. It's like,
mostly just because I love to see your face when I do that to you. It's really funny.
Y'all are crazy.
Well, fortunately, you've chosen an artistic outlet like rapping, where, of course, you know, it is possible for women to compete at the same level men. Not like, say, radio announcing, where clearly women are at a disadvantage.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to play the role you want me to play. I'm just playing. Isn't that what you wanted?
See, I told y'all he was being nice to me earlier because he was going to do something to piss me off later, right? You just had to butter me up and then, like, bring the knife in. That's what that is?
I'm just trying to satisfy you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Keep trying, baby. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
That's what you wanted, right?
No. Exactly
what you want.
I see you. Mm-hmm. I see you.
Hey, we still have a guest. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm still here. I'm still hanging in here.
So, as Leslie mentioned, it's a small rap community. That's got to be some difficulty. I mean, do you have any idea about why this seems to be such a small rap community? Because you're here from Stanton.
Right.
I mean, what's it like over in Stanton?
It is very different in Stanton compared to Charlottesville. Like, I love coming to Charlottesville. I love going to Harrisonburg. I love it because when I come to Charlottesville, there's so many artists out here that show me love. Like, artists that I respect and that, you know, people should know about, that show me so much love and support. Like, it's amazing. And in Stanton, it's like,
I've heard you talk before about how important it is for all new artists to sort of support each other.
You gotta support local artists. You gotta support black businesses. Like, those are the things. Like, but it's in Charlottesville, it's just so much love and support from each other. In Stanton, it's not necessarily that way. So this is big competition, you know. So I love coming to Charlottesville and doing music and doing shows and kind of stepping outside that, because if I'm just going to do stuff here in Charlottesville, then how far am I going to get, you know? Or if I just do stuff in Stanton, how far am I going to get? You have to spread your wings. So it's okay that it's small, because you just keep going from city to city to city, you know, and you just keep creating that buzz from city to city to city.
How far out have you gone so far?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing that I've done was probably the Nova Pride, which was so exciting. I have a show coming up in Richmond on the 26th of this month at Colors. Make sure you guys come out to Colors on 3/26, okay? I'm really excited about that, because that is huge. That is huge. But I'm planning to move to Atlanta.
Have you done Richmond before?
I've done shows in Richmond when I was, like, a little bit younger, but not, like, I wasn't as good as I am now. And especially this venue, this is, like, a show I've been waiting for, because the venue is huge, and it's always packed, and it's crazy.
All right,
crazy.
So all you Lady Tage people, you got to come out. You got to represent.
You got to come support. Yes, please do. So I think it's going to be really, really big for me, though.
Uh-huh. Got any other shows coming up?
Yes, I have the Mac Rock Festival at Clementine's and on April the 2nd.
That's in Harrisonburg, right?
In Harrisonburg, yes, in Harrisonburg. Make sure you come out to that at 10 o'clock. I have a show at the Golden Pony on April 16th. That's also in Harrisonburg. And I'm doing the, we're talking about it. It's pretty confirmed, but I'm going to be doing the Mary Baldwin Pride Festival on April the 1st. So,
all right.
Yeah. So I have some things that's right. in the making, you know. Oh,
it is so good of you to do your part to non-whitify Mary Baldwin just a little bit.
Exactly. And
pour some coffee in that vanilla.
You just get a little, you know, get a little coffee in there.
Wake them up.
I think they could use a little bit of that. So yeah, so I have some things that are in the making. I'm excited about.
Well, Lady Tej, thank you so much for coming over the mountain. Thank you so much for being on our show. We wish you the best. We hope to have you back again.
Hold on, Clinton. I got to give some shout-outs real quick. It's so important. We got to do our shout-outs. So real quick, I need to give a shout-out to Father and Sons Barbershop in Stanton because they sell Lady Tej CDs there. They show me a lot of love. So get your copy of Lady's Lyrics there. Mm. Studio 360 right here in Charlottesville. They also have Lady's Lyrics there. So you need to go to Studio 360, get your hair cut, and pick
and Lady's
you up.
Lyrics is the new album?
Yes, it's the new album. I have to give a shout-out to like all my best friends, Ashton, Kim, Eric, Arlena, Todd, like for always supporting me and sharing my music, Freak Alias, Easy Loke. Just everybody... Remy, Spit It Out, everybody that just supports me, man, I appreciate all of you for just listening and, you know, holding it down for me.
Lady Tej, here on Homegrown, now you know. Thank you.
Thank you.
51 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC. If you're just tuning in, you missed it. you missed it. You're just going to have to listen to the podcast because this was a good one, except when Leslie crawled all up and down and all over me. And speaking of Leslie crawling all up and down and all over us, it's time for that part of the show.
Wow, that sounded a little dirty.
That we all know as Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Thank you, Clinton. What if I told you art was dying? What if I told you it was under attack, cornered, and the only person that could save it was you? What if I told you you were the only one who had what it took to save it? All of it. What if there was no one else to take up that slack? What if I told you that without art in our world, the entire human race would die off? What if I told you artists were responsible for inspiring major scientific and medical advances? What if I told you that the art that you are contributing to the world would one day save the world? If I told you all that, would you think about your art differently? Would it have more weight to you? Would you put more energy into it? Would you change what you do and how you express yourself? Would you finally take it more seriously? We all know that participation in art and music can improve a child's performance in math and science because the two are connected. We can mathematically predict who will be considered beautiful by an algorithm designed to map the angles and features of a face. We can use math to look at patterns in nature and then apply those principles to solve other things. Music is nothing but a collection of sound waves played at a level which the human ear can register. It takes an artist to turn it into something new that we want to listen to over and over again. Besides math and science, art can give all of us a glimpse into the human condition. It can take us on a journey and teach us things about ourselves and other people vital for the survival of the human race. It can inspire us to love and join. It can give us a glimpse into someone else's experience so that we may be able to understand our fellow man just a little bit better. All this art then inspires not only the average person or that great mind, it inspires other artists to create something all their own, which in turn moves like a wave through the human consciousness, and no one can really know all the ripple effects that occur. So, I go back to my original question. What if I told you art was dying, and you were the only one who could save it. Would you accept the challenge? Go ahead. I dare you.
Really? Really?
You having trouble finding your words, babe?
You know, I'd say that if you told me that art was dying and I was the only one who could save it, I'd say, well, thank goodness that art is in the hands of someone with a penis, because goodness gracious, you know that no one Clinton. Without one would have the ability to come forward and actually do what needed to be done in order to bring art back to life. In
you know
fact,
what? You know
it's
what?
Probably, it's
wait,
probably
wait, wait.
The
you
perfusion.
Know what? You know what? Whip it out right now. We're going to measure them and see which one of ours is bigger.
Artists,
okay? No.
Community dragged it down.
Because I will bet you that mine is bigger than yours. Okay?
Where it's going to be dying. Dying, dying, dying. Just weighted down by the weight of so many women yakking and yakking and yakking and yakking.
You know I can turn your mic off, right?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, and making threats they wouldn't even dare follow up on.
His mic is off. Just want y'all to know. Because I'm done. I'm so done. I'm so done listening to this. So done. I'm done. Completely. We're just not paying attention to Clinton anymore. You know what? He's still in the back raving like somebody listening to him. I don't know what's wrong. He crazy. Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. It was wonderful. We want to thank our guests, Ben and Sam from Oak Grove Theater. And we want to thank Lady Tash for coming in and dropping some cool beats on us. You guys got to check her out, Colors in Richmond on the 26th, at the Make Croc Festival on the 19th. And in Harrisonburg on April 2nd. It's been a wonderful show. We are so happy that you came to see us today, spending your Sunday morning with us, even though Clinton went a little crazy. I'll deal with him afterwards. Trust me, it's going to be all right. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you.
Been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.